كنسيتو. او سوري اتوني بيت ستيك سوري.
Document.
I should have made sure of this because some of you are new, you know.
Your sensitivity is, as always, appreciated, Mr. Chair.
The B version. Just to make sure that we are looking at the same bill as we are going through here. Yes, we are looking at the bill with amendments indicated. Like the document that I'm reading has a which ones have you distributed? Have you distributed? Yes, it's the Local Government Municipal Systems Amendment Bill, as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Corporate Governance, the National Assembly. And it says the English text is the official text of the bill.
We're looking at the actual bill, not the summary of amendments. Just in terms of page number.
Look at the bill. Just throw away the amendments. Look at the bill, because it will create problems. Okay. Yeah. Now we are on page 3, where the amendments start. Let's go through those.
Oh, guidelines.
You okay with it?
There's appointment of minister, just above the appointment there is the political office. In the
so what do you think?
This is amendment of section 1. Of the act there. It clarifies some terms. The first part of it clarifies the language it uses there about who it means, what it means by municipal manager. The next one is the political office, as referred to in the bill and explicitly. managers and amendments refer to the... Okay, let's move to the next one, page 4. Section that deals with the tightening of the existing bill on the required, the skills required and so on, tightening of those, and this one refers to those areas there. These are municipal managers directly accountable to the municipal manager. One of the key members we recall is that the relationship between the processes in the municipality, the information they must give to the MEC, and the time frame within which the MEC should respond. I see it incorporated as agreed there. Okay. Page 5 there. It is called the at the top of page 5 is the continuation of section 50, appointment of municipal managers, and it goes on there to talk about the instances of people facing action within the municipality, or those who have pending legal and disciplinary action within them, and so on. And it moves on to talk about the limitation of political rights of municipal managers and managers directly accountable to municipal managers. Any comments there, members?
Just check this one.
This is a section that says that people who hold this position must not hold political office in political party, whether in a permanent or temporary way. Frame within which a contract must be concluded. This is an important issue there. We were concerned with the time frame within which contracts must be signed. So those amendments have been effected. Page 6, continuation of regulations and guidelines. These are sections that empower the minister to further regulate this area here. And the next one is the employment of dismissed staff and record of disciplinary proceedings. Yes, Honourable Lorimer.
I don't know whether it's an oversight, Mr. Chair, but in paragraph 7 of that, a copy of the record referred to in subsection 6 must be submitted to the MEC for local government on a quarterly basis. I thought we'd agreed on 14 days there as well.
No, there are 14 days somewhere if you check.
It's in the paragraph below that if our aim is a rapid through flow of information, there's no point in making
it. Wait a minute, let me just be with you there.
You'll see it's there from the MEC to the ministers, 14 days. But from the municipality to the MEC, they say quarterly, which doesn't seem to be much point. I thought we'd agreed on 14 days and 14 days for both. That's section 7 and 8. Understanding, Mr. Chair, and it seems to me to be pointless for the record of disciplinary proceedings to sit for 3 months in the municipality, because during that 3 months it will not be more widely known that the individual concerned has disciplinary proceedings against them, in which case in that 3 months there's a wide open door through which they can be employed by any other municipality without anybody stopping them. And there is a precedent. I mean, if you look back to page 4, after line 36, the council must, within 14 days of the date of appointment, inform the MEC for local government of the appointment process and outcome, and then the MEC must, within 14 days of receipt, submit a copy thereof to the minister. So we've got 14 days and 14 days there from council to MEC, MEC to minister. So surely that is...
So you now want us to take it up there. You see, the problem we were saying that this adds to the reporting requirements of municipalities, and we are saying we're not going to add to that. You know what I'm talking about? That it is in instances where there's a requirement for the MEC to respond to issues that require his or her immediate response, in other words, within that short space of time, rather than... this is a general report of what has been happening in the municipality around those issues on a quarterly basis. But in instances where the response is expected for them from a municipality, that and it is sent to the MEC, 14 days is the time frame within which the MEC must respond.
I don't see it as that. I thought we disposed of this and we agreed on 14 days in both cases. Yeah. I think that renders this pointless.
No. You probably thought that is so. We did not agree on that.
Is it then the opinion of this committee that it must be, that quarterly is sufficient?
To report on those proceedings within the municipality?
As it stands.
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't agree with that at all.
To come back to you about that, let's proceed. Let's note that. Section 66. Amendment of Section 66 there. It's still the same page. Yeah, it's page 6.
They can't change it.
This is the... Yeah. cannot make a proposal for the inclusion of someone in the consultation process in the way in which we are doing without asking their opinion of whether this will be appropriate. And so, please, as we proceed, think about the, what remedy is there for us in the space within which we have before we decide this matter, and what the implications are of going ahead without their input. So as we proceed, please think about that. It appears we agreed on the, just that this is what, in this instance, the department and the ministry felt they should be. There should be at least an objective assessment of those things stated there as SALGA negotiates with labor. Okay, so we proceed with it. There's still agreement on that. And the amendment of section 72 here, and the role of the ministry narrowed down to those areas that identified as AA and BB, the transfers and termination of services, including the incorporating in section E of competency and skills amongst issues for consideration in the training of staff. There seems to be agreement there. We are on page 8. This is another area which the ministry and department wishes to be involved. And that section clarifies what the extent of that concept, that involvement is around the regulation of medical aid and pension. And this involvement being subject to labor relations and so on. In other words, the ministry, in response to the criticism of the unions and SALGA, that they were not taking over what is the responsibility of the negotiating parties to determine those issues for themselves, but that there is a basis for the involvement in some form of the ministry. Speaks about differentiation of municipalities in that respect. Includes that in this area as well, where the minister may further regulate to include consultation with the Minister of Public Service and Administration. This is in a sense in anticipation of the single public service story, where the remuneration of people in this sector may the ministry public service and have an interest in that you want to, whatever the intentions are about the single service and so on. And so that consultation is important for that reason. And it speaks to the issues of where the MEC does not investigate issues that require investigation, that under what conditions the minister may get involved. Right. Mm-hmm. So the parties involved here, the department itself, has a key role in communicating the implications of that decision. This is a very serious one, that any councillor will have to satisfy themselves that what they are going to be voting for, the advice they have received, that it is not in conflict with any legislation or policy. So that's the voting at meetings. Now, I guess the Auditor General and the department itself will be very, will be hoping that this will be complied with. And what they've often referred to as a flagrant disregard of the law will come to a stop. Now, law is intended to change behavior, but on its own, it doesn't always succeed. So it is what is left unsaid in the legislation that is also going to be very important. The political work by the department in the induction programs in contact with councillors to communicate this matter, including, of course, political parties. They are public representatives at that level to appreciate and understand the consequences of this matter. So that's the one that we the last of the amendments that we considered. It's not underlined, but the Section 82 of the Local Government Municipal Structures Act is hereby repealed. This is like bringing some consistency of treatment of issues that relates to municipal managers and managers in municipalities to reside in the same piece of legislation, so away from the Structures Act into the Systems Act, because that reference was for municipal managers in the Structures Act, so it's repealed there because it's now provided for in this amendment back into the Systems Act. So these are this is the amendments, members, as reflected in version B of the Act. So, can I ask that we go back to the section that Honorable Lorimer raised concerns with? Page 4, 666, yeah. Page 6. Which paragraph is that?
Thank you, Chair. If we could go back to this point as well. The whole purpose when we started debating this was that we felt at the time that to report on a quarterly basis was too long, and that in that 3-month period, people will fall through the crack and be re-employed by municipalities. And our proposal at the time was that the reporting is done within 7 days of the conclusion of the case, so that the minister gets informed as well as the MEC, so that we do not have that gap where things fall between the crack of that 3-month period and people get reemployed. And then we agreed to change the 7 days to 14 days. But now it came back to a quarterly reporting, which really defeats the whole object.
Can you look at the other provisions that prohibit the employment of any such persons? Because I think also we should, let's look at that and look at the other provisions. I'm just missing which one it is that prohibits any such employment of a person like that. Because, in other words, I think, and in that provision, we were precisely having that in mind, that even if there is a there's no way it is going to escape the combination of that requirement for reporting and the decisions for any person who employs such a person, for example, is prohibited. Funny, you guys, can you look at that section that speaks to that provision that says any person who employs a person like that, there's a sanction there? Just look at that. So it's those processes before, and even if in the process it escapes through the measures, there's a requirement for in the decision-making process that must be prohibited. What that says there. It says that a copy of the record referred to in subsection 6 must be submitted to the MEC for local government on a quarterly basis. Okay. And then the next one says the MEC for local government must within 14 days of receipt of the record referred to subsection 6 submit a copy thereof to the minister. So, what is section 6 say? It says must maintain a record that contains prescribed information regarding proceedings of staff members. All right. Yes.
What it want?
Yes. Those two read together. I thought that it satisfied that requirement. Those three sections.
Surely we have to look at the intention behind it, and that is to make this information available to other municipalities.
Yes.
So that people aren't employed by mistake. I mean, they may not know about these disciplinary proceedings.
You see, this is the point I'm making, that there are provisions in the law that prohibits any. The last one that says councillors must not vote on this. It's not the only one that there is satisfaction that such a person there's no violation of laws in the employment of people for any violation. It's not the only provision. There's another provision that explicitly says a person who has these problems and so on, for example, may not be employed. So and within 3 months, anything you if you did that would be rendered invalid. Did you find that section, Jackie?
No, Chair, I did try to thought maybe, you know, one should assist honourable members here that there were basically two issues that came out, you know, under this section. I agree with you that the honourable members never agreed, you know, to change the 3 months, this quarterly reporting.
Yes.
But the argument around this was backed by two issues. The first one was that when we do the regulations, we'll ensure that in the application form, individual applicants will have to disclose whether they've been dismissed for misconduct elsewhere before they joined municipalities. But we also indicated that the minister, I think if we read it with subsection 9, the minister will establish a national database which will be made available to all municipalities across the county to be able to blacklist some of this, you know, people who jump from one municipality to another. By doing that, my understanding is that it does not necessarily require a municipality to wait for 30 days to report that, because if the database is there for municipalities to log on and put information to be accessed by other municipalities, it should be there on an ongoing basis. The quarterly reporting is just a standard a performance reporting, you know, requirement. Thank you.
Can I just, okay, Honorable Dragato.
And also, Chair, maybe I won't be assisting that much, but when going through the bill, reading it, there is a clause somewhere which is saying, even if maybe before that 2 months, maybe it happens that the person is appointed in another municipality. So the MEC has a right through the court of law to reverse all the processes of that appointment. I don't know which clause is in here.
I think it's... If a person is appointed as municipal manager in contravention of this section, the MEC for local government must, within 14 days of receiving the information provided for in subsection 7, take appropriate steps to enforce compliance by the municipality with this section, which may include an application to a court for a declaratory order on the validity of the appointment or any other legal action against the municipality. I think that's one we've been looking at.
All well and good.
Yes.
But how long is it going to take and how much is it going to cost? Surely the whole reasoning behind this keeping of a register is to be able to act swiftly. Because if we're saying that these clauses about a register are catered for in other parts of the legislation, why are they there at all? What we're doing, my concern is that we're putting in an imperfect instrument.
No, it's imperfect. Not the best of facts.
Yeah, but it costs money.
Even if it is there in law, how often is it implemented following the law? So I'm saying that what we disagreed with a shorter period of municipalities reporting to the MECs, is that we do not want to add reporting requirements, and especially giving it such short time frames. It's impractical. One of the issues we have on the agenda with COFDA, Treasury and them, is the progress they are making in limiting the reporting requirement of municipalities. So to add it to reporting,
We said SALCA should not speak on these matters in the first place, because we are now finalizing these things.
It is impractical, and it will not happen in the first second place. We are still going to have to educate and persuade, giving the staff complement and requirements there, that they should be complying with the reporting requirement in the law. Right now, we are not receiving reports that are in the law that were meant to be reporting. Section 48 reports, to be explicit, that speaks about the performance of municipalities. And what I'm saying is that we do not have to add that, especially because the provision here says that there's a quarterly report, and that in the event any issues arises from here and reaches the MEC, that within 14 days they must respond to those municipalities on those issues. So I don't see why it should not be left like that instead of adding the frequency of reporting. Okay. And this I'm saying because of the public hearings, input of municipalities complaining of the amount of reporting requirement that we are bundling them with, that they are over-regulated. Okay.
and you want to persuade us to do that by increasing the frequency with which they must report.
This whole bill adds more regulation to what they're doing.
So we must worsen it.
If we're going to do this, we might as well do it properly, is my point.
Yeah, it's not doing
this. This is building in a law with a loophole.
What we disagree with you in the meeting in the past, not just today, was precisely that we wouldn't want to worsen it. Even if you are right, theoretically, if you are right, that the bill itself is edgy. But it must not even be worse than what we are adding. It's not valid, really. Two wrongs don't make a right, Honorable Lorima. I thought you knew that. Honorable Nelson. Honorable Ndengeto.
Chairperson, yes, I agree. The 14 days here was never a topic of discussion. It never came up here, so it's actually changing now what we've agreed along. I mean, how many meetings have we had? This has only been picked up right now. It has never been a point of discussion. In the other sense, it was a point of discussion with the 7 days in which we eventually agreed on the 14 days. But I don't see it being a problem because there are other mechanisms in place. There's the issue of anybody being guilty of fraud or corruption, not being employed. There's the issue of the reporting anyway. Before someone is appointed in a municipality, checks and balances have to be done. I believe that no municipality would anyway just appoint someone without checking background, where the person comes from, why they've left there, and so on. So that is the intention, and it might seem funny, but it's, I don't think it wouldn't happen. I think we'd put enough measures into place, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Governor.
And also, Chair, we've agreed on the regulation that it is one of the requirements that a person must add the validity of saying he's having a criminal case or pending case in some other municipalities, or he has been dismissed to other municipalities. I think those substances of adding those regulations in some requirements when doing our appointment, I think it's enough than put it on.
Okay. All right, members. Any other comment on the matter? You insist on another body.
Honorable Nelson, perhaps you should... I'll send you a copy of the media statement, which I'll release tomorrow, which shows that sometimes municipalities do appoint people without doing proper background checks. You might be interested to read it.
Yeah. And this provision stops that, seems to stop that. This is why this was the motivation of the department in bringing the things to. Okay, members, we will not be able to exhaust this matter. We've had your view. Thank you very much. If that's the one area that you disagree with, but the rest of the stuff we agree, let's proceed on that basis. Members, I will now read you a shorter version of the report. And I promise this is what must be the case. The report that we circulated is a lengthy report, but it doesn't... We've looked at it. I don't think it does justice to the evaluation of some of the inputs that was submitted to the committee, and that we would like to recommend that we finalize that the report proper at our next sitting. It does not have to hold back our staff here. In the meantime, what we will read you is the following. Just listen to me. It's the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, having considered the subject matter of the Local Government Municipal Systems Amendment Bill, and then it speaks the language here of Bill 2210, National Assembly, Section 75, reports the bill with amendments, and then includes B22A 2011, which is a list of the amendments. So that's the report that we are going to allow the bill to go with, on condition that the next week an amended version of the one that you have, a longer version of the report, will be submitted for approval by the committee next week. on that report. Is that okay? All right. Procedure requires me to ask you to say whether you support it or not, so that we record your indications. Honorable Machova, support. Any seconder? Honorable Boda, seconds that we accept the report. Members, the municipal government municipal systems amendment bill is approved. We did a temporary arrangement, a tentative arrangement with the programming in Parliament that because of the congestion of programming, in the next week is committee week, and then the weeks that are going to follow will be what are they called? The small cities, plenary sessions, extended public committees to deal with the budget and so on. And it's going to be an intense, brief work of those budget votes, and then we'll go off on the members to go and work on their municipal election ambitions out in the field. So they agreed that we suspend the 3-day rule for bills. You know, there's a requirement for a 3-day rule and so on. So that will be suspended so that we can handle this thing on Thursday. So it will be debated in the National Assembly on Thursday. And we will say that the committee agreed unanimously with the report, except, of course, for a small section there that Honorable Lorimer indicated he disagrees with. But it doesn't detract from the substantive agreement with the bill. Thank you very much, members. Take a breather, 2 minutes comfort, stretch your legs, stand up. And you may, if you want to, I must be democratic. All of you members and our guests and staff, stretch your legs. So that there is a conscious break with what you just dealt with the next item. Yes.
Hey man. Good night. Good night.
No, but
I don't know.